questions?
Morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. For God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And if one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it.
And that is going to be the basis, passage at the basis of what we're going to do this morning as we continue to think of the third in our trilogy of resourcing us for our Seeking the Spirit initiative. This morning we're going to do a little bit of Baptist history, we're going to do a little bit of American politics, we're going to put everything into the pot with 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and we're going to stir it all up and we're going to see what we come out with. Yeah, it's good, good, good. Right, let's start off with then about thinking about working together. Right, that's a table full of people who think they're important, who are important because they were tasked with the job of sorting out the end to the Ukraine war. So there's all sorts of people are invited to that. Some of you know the countries that were invited, so there's America's there, Russia's there. I don't know if there's anyone else there, but they were there. Who wasn't there? Ukraine. Who else wasn't there? We weren't there. Yes, there wasn't a European representation as well. Whose job is it, is the question. Whose job is it to end the war? Who's responsible for it? And everyone's scrapping to be on the main table that decides such issues, and that is going to get more and more heated. When it comes to church life, whose job is it to sit on that top table of decision making and make decisions about the future of the church and the direction of the church and dealing with the current issues of the church, the way the church goes? Whose job is it? Is there a hierarchy of who can be at that table? Is it going to be deacons and minister only? Is it going to be include those who have been at the church a long time? So those who are sort of the long-termers. Is it going to be members only? Who's it going to be at that top table? Is it going to be only men? Oh, some nods there. I think that was just... I'm not sure what sort of nods. Anyway, maybe that's just a nervous twitch. Who should be on that group who discern the way for the church and what God is saying to us? Well, we're going to dip into then our Baptist heritage, which always went back to the Bible and is based on biblical teaching that if you are a Christian, you are part of the body of Christ. And God has put the body, not in separate compartments, what's that word there? It's together. God has put the church together. And the early Baptists in the 1600s, thinking it through and saying, well, God's put the church together. The Holy Spirit has been given to each of those people in the body of Christ. If you haven't got the Holy Spirit, not Christian. If you're Christian, got the Holy Spirit living within you. Not all can speak with the same, not every voice is valid. And amongst the church and the body of Christ, some will be very knowledgeable about the Bible and about their faith and very faithful in their walk with God. Some won't be. Some will be going all sorts of wrong paths. Others are completely bonkers. Recognize that, but it's true. Yeah, some Christians are completely bonkers in a very harmless sort of way, but it's unlikely that everyone's going to be able to contribute in an equal way. But nonetheless, what you can't do is, well, you can't say, I don't need you. We need all those voices, including those who are a bit bonkers. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Paul's bit here is a comic passage of thinking about a body saying you don't need various bits. And we say, well, of course you do. Of course you need it all. And can you imagine it if the body started chucking bits off? It's just not going to happen. You are the body of Christ. And the way this illustration works is you have to understand every bit is needed. And in fact, some of the less glamorous parts of our body are those that actually hold the whole thing together and are even more essential. We have to work out what the Holy Spirit does and who the Holy Spirit appoints to do various things in the church and act as the body of Christ. And the early Baptists said, well, look, the Holy Spirit anoints and empowers people to use those gifts of the Spirit in the church. The Holy Spirit does it. And the rest of the body probably should be able to recognize that when that gifting is there. Now, that was a dangerous statement. Because in those days, who said who could preach? Who said who could read the Bible? Who said who could pray in public and lead public prayers? Who said who should be in charge? Who should be the minister and the pastor? Who said it? Well, the state said it. The government said it. Ultimately, the king said it. And then that was filtered down through Parliament and through the Church of England authorities, only the Church of England authorities. They said who could preach. In those days, if you stood up and led public prayers, you were committing an offence. Can you imagine it? If you went out the front and said, right, we're going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and you started reading, you're committing an offence. You're not authorised to read the Bible in public. And if you preached, if you dared preach, you'll be arrested. Wow. And that's why my last church had its own private graveyard, which went back to the 1820s. It's why the graves were rubbish. They were. Someone, an academic, did a study on our graveyard and to see how much history you can read into it. Because Baptists were not allowed to be professionals, they weren't allowed to go to university, so therefore they had the poorer jobs because they were excluded from certain jobs. They were poor, and therefore the graves they used, the gravestones, were poor quality. And so they crumbled, and you couldn't read them. And you could see it in the graveyard until eventually, Baptists and other nonconformists were allowed to be educated. And then the grave quality went up. You can see it in our graveyard. These people were prepared to forego privilege for the sake of their belief that we are the body of Christ and it's the Holy Spirit who gives the gifts and it's the body of Christ who recognize and encourage those gifts to be used. No one has a higher authority than that. That belief is world-shaping. Let's do some American politics here. Let's look at the American Constitution and the First Amendment, which says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof of abridging the freedom of speech. And so it goes on. Now that is enshrined in their constitution. And it's saying there'll be no state church, no Church of America, there'll be no state church. No church authority can tell you whether you can read the Bible or not, lead public prayers or preach. You have free speech. You have freedom of religion as well. No one can impose that on you. And so that laid the foundation for how America works with interacting with especially the church, but also other religious bodies. Wow. And it's therefore important that in the current climate in America, that there is those things such as that are kept in place and are not tinkered with. It's a precious freedom. So whose job is it to discern what the Spirit is saying to this church? It's yours! Everyone here, you're here. It's your responsibility to be part of that job of discernment. But how do we discern? Let's go back to the Old Testament. Story of Elijah. He just come back from a battle with the priests of Baalism, which is a religion of the day and a quite brutal religion. Probably did dabble in child sacrifice, amongst other things, and temple prostitution. He took it on. He said it's wrong. And when he came away from that after he'd won the battle, he went into the desert, and he was depressed after it. He was down. He was spent. And he goes out into the mountains, and he has a retreat. And he sits there sulking, really, but he has a retreat. And God encounters him. He wants God to speak to him. He wants to see God. And so God brings to him weather. Something to talk about. There's thunder and lightning. It's loud. It's overpowering. There's winds blowing. There's earthquakes as well. And everything is loud and shouting at him. The whole of nature shouting at him. And that's not God. It's just nature just making a noise. And then God speaks by his Spirit quietly. Now, what people take away from this is, if you want to hear God, you've got to be quiet because he whispers. God's not very loud. God's probably got something wrong with his voice. He's very loud. Shh, don't. You've got to be quiet. And that is the basis of things like Quakerism, where they meet in silence. And there is actually something of great value saying that to be quiet, to listen to God, is good practice. But it's not what this passage is saying. I think what this passage is saying in 1 Kings chapter 19, this episode, is that a whisper from the Holy Spirit is more overpowering and louder in our souls than all nature can produce. It shakes us to the core, and it only takes a whisper, just as well God doesn't shout at us. It will completely overpower us. And Elijah's first task then, as he comes out of this, is to listen. And when he hears, and it might take a while before it happens, but when he hears, it's going to be pretty obvious. And sometimes it's obvious when God's speaking to us. Sometimes it needs a while for things to settle in our minds and we take our attention off all the noise that's around us. But when we hear, it can be obvious. Or it can be obvious when we come together and when we try to discern what God is saying. Sometimes you just know it's the Lord. You can then go on to look at the Bible and check that it's in line with Scripture. Yes, but often it's just, you just know. But it takes that slow time as well to distill it, to make sure that we've got it right. Listening is the essence of a good Baptist church meeting. A church meeting can focus on the right to speak, like First Amendment stuff. I have the right of free speech. And in a Baptist church meeting, everyone has a right to speak. You can always claim your right to speak, unlike other organizations where you may not, unless you've submitted something in advance. Baptist church meeting, you have the right to speak. But it goes beyond that. It gives you the responsibility to listen. when you don't really want to hear what's being said. Now, I think that's the weakness in American dialogue at the moment, that in all sorts of areas, not just of politics, but of church as well, people shout loudly what their views are. They're using their right to speak, but they cannot hear what the other side is saying, and they do not want to. And it's producing division. Now, I know that happens to a lesser extent in this country, but I think we ought to see what happens when you do the right to speak thing, but you don't do the responsibility to listen. Now, being receptive to the ideas of others is also part of Baptist history of church life. When it goes well, when the church gathering goes well, we can respond to what others are saying. We can do that because the Holy Spirit is in each one of us. We're the body of Christ. So we must remember that, well, when God speaks, God could be speaking to them. It could be them. Well, that's why we need to listen. Those parts of the body that seem to be weakest are indispensable because it could be them. It could be the person who sits the other side of the church. It could be them. It could be the person who's never said anything out loud at all. It could be them. Wow. And, well, this is the bit that's individual. This is when we're doing the feedback sheets at the moment. We're getting a hold of them and we're thinking through and we're praying through. I hope you're praying for them. I hope you've got it in a place where you can jot down things as they come to you. That's the time when we're doing our individual work and we will then listen. And wow, it could be you. And God could speak profoundly through you. I expect God to speak profoundly through you. And it might just be in general terms. It might be something very specific and very deep. It could be you that God speaks through. So, we're going to have a time of listening. The right to speak and to write what you want on the feedback sheets is yours. You have the right to speak. But we'll also do the listening together because that is a very Baptist thing to do. So, we put it together. We need to gather to discern, to listen. And to hear, which is a little bit different. So to hear, which is being attentive to the different voices and emotions. I want you to listen to something that was posted on the Kingsdaleton Facebook page. And I want you to listen. And then I want you to also hear what's going on in the feelings and respond to it. Right. To the very impatient driver of the black Kona vehicle, registration started WH23, travelling down Lay Lane this morning around 8:30 a.m. Yes, it was busy, and I stopped where I did to ensure that people could get in and out of the side turning, but you obviously thought it would be better to overtake me and pull in front of me and basically block all the traffic. You then had to reverse back to me. Great driving brain you have. Please think before you get into the car. What are your feelings about that? Come on, let me know. Whose side are you on? What do you think? Sorry? It was passionate. Your feelings, your thinking on it. Are you on their side? Oh, Jen, you're on their side, yes. Anyone on the side of the other driver who just needed to get through? What are your feelings towards that other driver? Go on, Rob. So you have a sympathy there. Yeah, okay.
Were you on Lay Lane?
Oh dear. What about other feelings? What feelings did you pick up coming across? Just, Yeah, road rage. Anything else? What feelings did you pick up? Frustration, yes. Any other feelings? Sorry?
A lot of anger
there. Lack of consideration, yes. Yeah, it's quite, there was quite a lot in there. It was fun.
Also a lack of understanding for what the other side could be.
Right, yes. Yes, it was assuming that it could be a situation like assuming Rob said, yeah. Yes.
Something else might happen.
Yes. If we simply listen, we can then adjudicate between different cases and say, yes, they're right, they're wrong. But it's quite a detached thing, just listening. But when you're hearing, you take into account the feelings of what's coming from the person, their emotions, and you're being you're also having to be attentive to a view which might really grate with your own. When you listen to someone who expresses something which is contrary to what you are comfortable with. Now, if we can listen and then hear dissenting voices, differing voices, we then become much more inclusive. Not in the modern version of inclusive, which is a sort of an anything goes and I have a right to do and be anything I want and you have to accept it. But inclusive in the sense of being able to embrace that, which is a little bit painful for us to hear, but we'll do it. So, and that's doesn't really so much apply to our seeking the Spirit, that we're looking for dissenting voices to be expressed. There might be opposing views, but that also applies to any gathering we have, which is a decision-making or a discussion forum for the church. We need to go beyond listening to hear. As the Apostle Paul says, if one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. So that's the KCBC way. Let it be our way. And through that, through all that we're trying to do through this initiative, through our listening, through our hearing, may we hear God speak.